Well, I appreciate Levi. I appreciate his preaching. You should go up and encourage Levi. He does a great job preaching, and I just appreciate it when he speaks from his heart. Do you want to stretch a little bit before you go into the next service sermon?
You're ready.
Okay, you're ready.
Lean on.
Well, a couple weeks ago we talked about abiding in Christ, and what does that bring us? If we abide in Christ, what does it bring? Huh?
Peace.
Peace.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Fruits.
Is that what John chapter 15 said? If we abide in Christ, it will bring, huh?
He will abide in us.
But if we want fruit, now what are some fruits? Let's look at ourselves this morning. What fruits do you desire for you, for this church?
Love.
Love? Humble. Meekness.
Joy.
Faith. Those would all be fruits, right? Like you have grapes and apples and oranges. Do you want fruits?
More people.
More people? Well, I was waiting to hear that. I really want to work in 2005 to 8 to bust those walls out. Wouldn't you? Would you like to do that? Now, we're really working on this missions trip, and we're going to concentrate on the missions trip because that is what God has for us right now. But when that is done and over with, then we're going to try to work on our neighborhoods. Not people that already have a church. We don't need those people. Let them go where they are going. But we need and want to reach the ones that don't have a church to go to. The ones that we gave presents to. And thank you, Debbie, by the way. I never had a chance to thank you for the hard work you put in. And, boy, just appreciated that. But fruits. What do we have to do to get fruits?
Abide in Him.
Abide in Him. That's what we're going to talk about today. Maybe a couple of Sundays in a row here. How do we abide in Him? If all we can focus on is fruits, but we don't talk about abiding in Him, then we will sit here until the day turns blue and we won't see no fruits. We have to learn how to abide in Him, how to start, how to plug in, and how to stay there. So today, let's talk about that. Let's start talking about that. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever been hungry for something? And not necessarily anything in particular, but hungry. So hungry that you could hardly stand it. You are actually becoming weak because, particularly you teenagers, right? Boy, 12 o'clock, if I haven't eaten yet, I'm ready to fall and faint. I got to have something, Mom, to eat. You know, you're growing. You got to beat that growth. And so, have you ever been there? Ever been there hungry? All you could think about was food. Anything would do. Just give me some food so I can get through this hunger. It's a little bit the same way when you are hungering for God. There's an ache deep in your soul that begins to fizzle. And it just doesn't go away. And you just kind of get hungrier and hungrier and hungrier for the Lord. Have you ever been there? Have you ever had that hunger? That's a good hunger to have. It really is. I wish I could be in that state all the time. But the thought, this thought remains in your mind. I must have God. I must have Him, and I must have more of Him, and I just want to soak up in Him. And your time is spent in pursuit of Him and His presence, and it's just taking over in your mind, and it's taking control of you. There was a man, a young man in Chicago. This was back in the 1800s. And he was pastoring a church. His name was D.L. Moody. And his church was doing well. There were people getting saved on Sundays, and things were clipping along at a good pace. But deep down, he had this ache, just exactly what we're talking about. He had this ache. He had this desire in his heart to see more. And he said, I know that my God is much bigger than what I and my church feel and experience. And one day he said, I'm not doing any more ministry one more day until I experience that power. You know what D.L. Moody done? This young man got out on the sidewalk and walked. He said, I don't even know where I'm walking. And one day, as he was walking down the sidewalk, all of a sudden he just felt led. He felt pulled into this old building. All it was a storage building downtown Chicago. And there was nothing happening there. The windows were broken out, but he felt led to turn in. He went into this building, and he went over up on the second or third floor, and he got down on his knees, and he said, God, I'm not moving until I experience what I know is there. And they said that he prayed and prayed and begged and pleaded for God to give him that. And all of a sudden, the power of God came down on D.L. Moody. And his book says, he's no longer alive, but he probably changed more people's lives than any other person I know. As he was down on his knees, the power began to unfold on him, and it came on and on and on. And all of a sudden, he said he was yelling out, God, don't give me any more. You're going to kill me. That's how much was coming upon him. And he got up on his feet, and he went back out over to his church, and he took the very same messages that he had preached before, where maybe one or two or three people would get saved in the invitation time, and he preached those same messages. And instead of one or two or three people getting saved, literally thousands and thousands and thousands of people came forward and got saved. And he changed that big city for God. But see, that's the difference between having God on your life and not having God on your life. It's the difference between having a little bit of God on your life or a whole lot of God on your life. And what I want is a whole lot of God in my life. Why should I spin my wheels and work hard putting a message together and nothing happens? When I can do that and have all that power upon my life and see wonderful and powerful things happen wherever I go. Not because of me. It has nothing to do with me, but it has everything to do with God. And D.L. Moody has a museum up in downtown Chicago, and I went in there and I read his letters. I spent hours in that little museum, and he had a big statue of him, like a wax thing. And I just looked at him. I just thought, wow. He just looks like Levi. He just looks like me. And yet God used him so powerfully. Now, let's go to Matthew. Actually, let's go to Psalms. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 42. While you're turning there, I want to read verse 6 in Matthew 5. Jesus said this. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Do you know how to finish that verse? For they shall. Another promise, Levi. Another promise, guaranteed. You shall be filled. But what do we have to do first? What is our part? Believe, yeah, but hunger and thirst. That's the part that we have to do. Hunger and thirst. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think there's any people in here right now that are hungering and thirsting after God, including myself, like we should. And if we really, really want to be filled, what do we have to do? abide in him, hunger and thirst after him. We have to hunger and thirst after him. Look at Psalms chapter 42 and look at verse 1. The thing about God is the more you get of him, the hungrier you become. Psalms chapter 42, verse 1 and 2. It says here, as the hart, or the deer, as the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before my God? When shall I come and appear before my God? Have you ever been there? Isn't that a great place to be? David was, in his mind, he was thinking of this deer standing on the edge of a creek and just panting for water because of the thirst. And that's what he said when he was trying to describe his own hunger and his own thirst was, Lord, I'm just like that deer. I'm just like him. I have a song. If you have this page, and I'd like to just stand, all of us stand, and I'd like to sing this song because it comes out of this very scripture. As the deer panteth. You know this song? Some of you will know it when I start singing it here. It should have plenty of sheets. And what I really, really want you to do is I want you to sing out. I want you, does everybody have a sheet? If you don't, please raise your hand. What I want you to do is really look at these words and sing them from the bottom of your heart. Okay, here we go. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Sing the chorus out with all of your heart as the last verse. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Very good. Thank you very much. Do you long to worship him? Is it a longing in your heart and it's an ache that just won't go away? That was David's desire here. Psalms chapter 27. Let's go there in verse number 4. Psalms chapter 27 verse 4. David says, I have one desire. I have just one desire of the Lord. Psalms chapter 27 verse 4. Says here, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after. And what he's saying is, what the Hebrew word here is consistently seek after. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will consistently and always seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Now, what is the one thing that you desire of the Lord? It is the one thing that you will seek after in 2005. I want you to think about that, because now we're going to have Sunday school. What is the one desire in your heart that is just driving you, and you want to make sure that that desire is strong and fulfilled in 2005? What is your desire? What is your one desire of all desires? What is your one desire, your most important desire at this time in life?
To dwell in the house of the Lord.
Any other desires? Think about it for a second. What is your desire? What if you were honest? You know what I'm saying? What if you were truly honest? Is it to make a bunch of money? To pay that house off? To have that nice car you always wanted? What is your one desire? Some of you better not be honest, because it wouldn't fit this morning because of the setting that we're in. What is your one desire? What is it?
To witness to people.
Is that a good desire to have? It is, isn't it? How big is that desire? Is it burning in your... Lori's raising her hand. That's my desire. What is your desire? What is your one desire?
Seeing more Amish people get out and get saved.
Seeing more Amish people get out and get saved. Bishops.
Amen.
Grow stronger than ever in the Word of God.
Grow stronger personally in the Word of God. What was David's desire? What was his one desire? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Where's our house of the Lord? Huh?
Our heart.
Okay, in a lot of sense, that's true. I was sort of looking for the other answer, but... Okay. That's what I was thinking, too, was it is in our heart, but it is also in the church here. And you know what I thought? I thought we've never dedicated this building to God. We have not done that. We've not really made a special meeting and said, Lord, we're giving you this building. We ask you to watch over it and cover it with your blood and protect it and never let anything terrible happen in this house, because we're committing it to you. We're dedicating it to you and for your service. And we ask that you do something like fill it up with your power and your presence. You know, we should do that someday. We should just take a whole service and just dedicate this whole building, this room, and to God, and say, it's for your work, it's for your glory. But David is saying that I have one desire, and that is to meet in the house of God. I just want to be in the house of God. Now, why did he want to be in the house of God so bad?
That's where he got fed.
That's where he got fed? Let's read the verse there. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold, this is why he was desiring, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple, or to meditate in his temple. I just want to be in the house of God. And you know what? I sometimes think that we should set this house of God and make it a holy place. In some ways, it's our heart in some ways, but it's also the building of God, and it should be kept holy. And we should be able to walk in here. If we're down and discouraged, I like to come up here, right here to this altar, kneel before this altar, because I want to see this altar right here holy. It's not nothing special. It's got all kinds of footprints on it. But if we ask God to make that altar holy, then why wouldn't it be holy? It would be. And I believe in invitations. I believe that it should be more than just raising my hand and saying, yes, that's me. I want to be that kind of a person. But you know what means even more is standing to your feet, saying, Lord, I'm getting out of my seat and I'm going forward and I'm kneeling at your holy altar because it's a sign of putting feet to what I believe. And I'd like to see this place holy. What is the one thing you desire? Think about it. Maybe your desire this morning was the wrong desire, but you have the opportunity today, January 2, 2005, just like Levi said, brand new piece of paper. You can write it as you go. It's like a book. Write your own book, and you don't even have to write it. You just live it out. What is your one desire? Maybe you need to change that in 2005. Would you do that? Would you seriously consider doing that with me? What is my one desire? What is my greatest desire to do in 2005? What do I want at the end of year 2005? I want to be able to look back and say, praise God, by the grace of God, I was able to live out that one desire in my life. And it's not easy. We need each other. And for those of us who have signed up for the Bible reading and holding each other accountable, it's been good. It's been fun, right? It's been really fun. I just love it when Reuben calls me. He tried at least 6 times the other night. Either I was on my cell phone or my home phone, or I just didn't pick up because I was eating dinner. But in any case, Reuben was determined to get through and say, Joe, have you read your Bible these past 7 days? And I was ready for him. I've been working on it. I marked it down so I wouldn't forget whether I had my devotions or not. And I was glad I could tell Reuben all 7 days I had a really good time in the Word. We need each other so bad to help us complete that one desire. Let's just stop right now. Let's not go on in life anymore until we are where we want to be. Why go through the whole message and just to feel good about having sat there for a half hour and going through the whole message? What good will that do if we don't do anything about it? That's what James is talking about. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. What do we as new believers, new life believers, have to do to get to the point where we desire and hunger and seek and pursuit after the closeness of God in 2005? James chapter 1, and look at verse number 22. What's the first 6 words say? Somebody shout it out. And what not? Is that easy to do? James knew exactly what he was talking about. Don't just come here to hear. Don't just read your Bible to hear. Do something. To be honest with you, these talk shows, I love to listen to them. You know, what are some talk shows on TV? Huh? Oprah? You like watching Oprah? Dr. Phil? I like Dr. Phil. He makes me feel good. Other ones? But you know what I've seen is people love to come in and share and talk and discuss, and they go home, and does anything ever happen? Probably not. Very, very few times I bet anything ever happens. And what I see in America is that we love to get together and talk about it until we're blue in the face, but nothing ever happens. We're hearers and listeners, but what we're missing is what?
Doers.
Let's be doers. For once, let's decide that we're going to be doers this year. Why is that so hard? Why is it so hard to be doers? Anybody got any idea, any suggestions?
It takes time.
It takes time, and we don't have much. We're selfish. That's probably pretty much answers the whole thing. We're selfish people, are we not? And a lot of it is laziness. We're selfish. Okay, Bob?
Conscious of how others see.
We're conscious of how other people see us. We want to fit in wherever we're at. And so the word says to do it one way, but we happen to be at the wrong group at this particular time. We would rather fit in than to do. Why are we not doers? What good will it do us if we read our Bible 7 days, but we're not a doer? What good will it do us? It won't do us anything. Okay, let's keep reading. Verse number 22. But be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, how can you deceive your own selves by reading but not doing?
Think you're doing right and you're not.
Think you're doing right and you're not. Pretty much answers it. Any other thing to pop to your mind? You can deceive yourselves, and we can deceive ourselves if we read and not do. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man holding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and he goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You know what? The Bible is much like a mirror. You get up in the morning and you realize you were slobbering at night and it's kind of caked on the side here and you see it, it stands out. You just looked in the mirror and your teeth are all yellow because they need brushed. You were breathing through them all night and maybe you see a black mark on the side of you and it all shows up the moment you look in the mirror. Isn't that exactly how the Bible does? You read the Word of God and it's like a mirror. It reflects you. Now, how silly to say, oh, I see all of that, but I'm busy. I'm busy. I got a lot on the schedule today. I got people to meet and places to go, and so you just leave all that stuff on there. How silly would that be? Wouldn't take very long. People be, oh, look at that. He's got yellow here and black here and hair all over the place. We would never do that, would we? We never do that. We look in the mirror and we scratch that off and maybe take a shower and brush our teeth. And we want to be, we'll take whatever time it takes to look prepared when we go to meet the people we are wanting to meet, right? We'll look sharp. Why would we not do that with the Bible? If we're going to read it and it says, hey, you're not doing what you should be doing in this area. What should we do? Oh, I got to read the whole chapter. I try to read one chapter a day, and so no time to stop there. You keep on reading. Yep, Reuben, I read a chapter 7 days in a row. What good did that do me? Nothing, did it? I would have almost been better to pick up a storybook and read a chapter in the storybook. We have got to stop thinking that this is what we got to do. We have got to start thinking, I want to read my Bible until I find something that jumps out at me, and then I want to become a doer. If you truly want to hunger and thirst after God, if you truly want to abide in Christ, if you really, really want to see fruit that remains, then that's what we got to do this year. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's it right there. I could stop right there. But we got to be doers. What can I do? What can we do to be doers this year? What can we do? Any suggestions?
Read
Just do it.
Get her done.
Let that mirror reflect back into your face so that you're doing what the mirror tells you to do.
Yes. Let that mirror speak for itself. And obey it. Like you would when you really stand in front of a real mirror. What are some other suggestions? What pops to your mind?
Sacrifice your selfishness.
I don't want to go on unless we are on the same page. I really don't. What do we got to do?
Slow down a little bit in our physical life and just read the Bible, and if it speaks to you, act on it.
Right. Slow down. Slow down. We're in such a... It's kind of like I was thinking on the way to church this morning. I'm on the freeway and everybody's going 65 all the way up to 85. And I thought, man, I'd just like to stop. Maybe even back up a little bit. What would that do? But you know what?
It wasn't a real religion.
But you know what that would do? It would cause all kinds of problems, wouldn't it? So we're on the freeway and we're going like crazy like everybody else. But you know what? The speed limit says 65. That doesn't mean you have to go 70. That's what we're doing. We're going 70 and 80. 90? Yeah, thick lip, you're young, you go... but a new year, a new sheet to write. Let's stop and evaluate. How do we want to write this year? How do we want to do it? And then let's be doers. Let's do it. I want to encourage you, if you are not a part of the accountability group, and whatever reason that is, it doesn't matter to me. You might say, well, calling my person once a week is just too much. I won't get it done anyways. Well, right there. You're not a doer. You're just a listener. If you really want to be a doer, then that shouldn't cross your mind. Maybe you're thinking, well, I just don't like to be held accountable. I like to be able to get up in the morning, and if that means I'm busy that day, I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want Jonathan to call me and ask me how I've done. I want to be put on the spot. Well, then you're not wanting to be a doer. You just want to continue to be a listener this year. Why don't you just decide? I know it doesn't feel good. I know it does, it goes against every grain in my body, but I'm just going to decide I'm going to be a doer and go to Choice or to Sarah and say, count me in. I am with you. I am going to be a doer this year. I want fruits, but I know what I got to do. I got to be a doer, and the fruits will be put there by God. Why don't you just do that? So simple, right? So simple. Okay. Let me read you a little illustration here. This is an illustration of an older lady that was a shut-in. As she was in her older years, and she had two daughters. And since she could not clean her own home anymore, she had to depend on her two daughters. Now, these two daughters came with two different personalities. One daughter would clean the house on this week, and the next daughter would clean the house next week, and they changed off. She said, I have two daughters who take turns cleaning my small home. Jean, the first daughter, she comes in and she makes everything shine. Sounds good so far, right? Wait till you hear the rest. Yet, when she leaves the impression that I'm an awful burden. The second daughter. But when Mary comes, no matter how dull the day or how low my spirit, she is so cheery that my heart's turned to singing. Above all, she makes me feel like she loves me. They're both good Christians, you understand, but what makes the difference is in their attitudes.
Mary does everything with a loving heart. And that's us today. That's us. If we're going to do it, let's do it with the right spirit, right? Might as well do it with the right spirit. Because to be honest with you, I don't want to pick on my kids, but I know kids throw all this off this way, and so are growing ups. No difference. But, Dad, I got to pour the trash out again? I've done it every day this week. Can't somebody do that sometimes? And goes and does it. You know, I've done it anyways, so he... That's how we are. Attitude. You know, why not just do it? Why not just do it? Why have an attitude about it? I'm not picking on my kids or any kids. I'm picking on ourselves. That's how we are. That's how this daughter was. She come in there. I imagine she was like us, busier and all, get out, come in there. Okay, Mom, what do you want done today? You know, couldn't you have carried that plate a little bit better? You got all that food that's been, you know, and go off on her. That's how we are. She done it anyways. She might as well have done it with a, like the other sister. Oh, Mother, it's so good to see you. Go, oh, yes, see, you spilt some food here and clean it up. Both of them cleaned the mess up. One with an attitude, the other one with a good attitude. Okay, one more. Let's go to 1 Samuel, then we're done. 1 Samuel chapter 15. I didn't do my message at all like I had planned, but I think this is the way it needed to go. 1 Samuel chapter 15. I want to give you a little bit of background here as you're turning to 1 Samuel chapter 15. What had taken place there was in the Old Testament. Saul was the king, and God said, Saul, I want you to go and kill off the Amalekites. They were a heathen nation, and God said, I want you to destroy everything about the Amalekites. I want you to destroy the little babies. Kill them. I want you to destroy all the adults completely, 100%, wipe them off. And everything that they own, like all their oxen and all their sheep and all their donkeys, I want you to wipe them off. Don't bring anything back. Kill it. Get rid of it. Wipe it away. I don't want to ever see the Amalekites again. That is the command that God gave to Saul. So they go to war. Verse number 3. Let's read that, what I just told you. Now go, this is a command from God, now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. I want you to completely and totally wipe them off. So they go to war, and they did everything pretty much, except Saul saw some really, really nice sheep. They were extra woolly and extra beautiful. And I can just imagine you would think, if I just had a couple of these, we'll kill most of them, but we'll take 100 of them back with us. Because what we can do is we can take these beautiful sheep and we can sacrifice them unto the Lord. We'll sacrifice these upon the altar for the Lord, and the Lord should be happy with that. I mean, He wants us to sacrifice, right? Even if we do it a little bit wrong here, the Lord should understand. Well, let's look at verse 22. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. And Samuel now had come up to Saul because he had heard the sheep blowing in the background. And it says, and Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice. To obey is better than to sacrifice. Do you sort of get the picture? It's more important to obey God than it is to sacrifice. It's more important to do what God wants us to do than to get up in the morning and make it to the church house to say that I done what God wants me to do. I made it to the church house. Well, whoop-de-doo. You didn't get any marks for that. None. Zero. But you didn't really aggravate yourself by getting up with the alarm and taking a shower so early in the morning and going to the church house and wasting your day. That you did. But it's more important to obey than to sacrifice. Remember that. So with that, let's bow our heads and let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet, and this is a new year, brand new year. I don't want to put any pressure on anybody. This is between you and God. But would you do me a favor? Would you draw a circle around you right now? Imagine yourself in that circle. No one's in that circle. It's just you. Now you're alone with God. Would you hear what God has to say to you? Would you be open to Him and say, God, I want to start my year out right. I want to be a doer. But I need your help. I need your grace. I need whatever it takes to be a doer. And I'm serious. I'm here because I'm beginning to feel that hunger and that thirst coming on. And I want it to grow. And I want to get more of it. And I want to be a doer in 2005. And to show you that I'm serious about this, I'm going to get out of my seat and come forward and just stand in the front. To show that I'm serious about that. I want to be a doer and I am going to set my feet to it. I'm going to get out of my seat and I'm going to just walk up to the front and stand and pray with my eyes closed and ask you to help me. You can do that right now. If you want to do that, would you do that? I'm going to sing this song while you're doing that. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone are my heart and spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Lord, thank you for this time that we had this morning. Thank you so much, God, for working in our hearts. We're just mere human. But we have a desire in our heart like David did. We have a desire that hungers after you and desires you more than anything else. This morning, some of us have stepped out to say that we mean it so much that we are going to step out, get out of our comfort zone and show you that we're serious and real. I pray, God, that you would bless all of us as New Life Church members this year. Help us to be doers. Oh, God, help us to be doers. Help us to hold each other accountable. Help us to encourage one another. Help us to ask each other the questions on how are you doing spiritually and how can I help you and how can I encourage you. Bless us, O God. Thank you for working in our midst. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Woo! Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. look at ourselves this morning. What fruits do you desire for you, for this church?
Love.
Humble. Meekness.
Joy.
Faith. Those would all be fruits, right? Like you have grapes and apples and oranges. Do you want fruits?
More people.
More people? Well, I was waiting to hear that. I really want to work in 2005 to 8 to bust those walls out. Wouldn't you? Would you like to do that? Now, we're really working on this missions trip, and we're going to concentrate on the missions trip because that is what God has for us right now. But when that is done and over with, then we're going to try to work on our neighborhoods. Not people that already have a church. We don't need those people. Let them go where they are going. But we need and want to reach the ones that don't have a church to go to. The ones that we gave presents to. And thank you, Debbie, by the way. I never had a chance to thank you for the hard work you put in. And boy, I just appreciated that. But fruits. What do we have to do to get fruits?
Abide in Him.
Abide in Him. That's what we're going to talk about today. Maybe a couple of Sundays in a row here. How do we abide in Him? If all we can focus on is fruits, but we don't talk about abiding in Him, then we will sit here until the day turns blue and we won't see no fruits. We have to learn how to abide in Him, how to start, how to plug in, and how to stay there. So today, let's talk about that. Let's start talking about that. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever been hungry for something? And not necessarily anything in particular, but hungry. So hungry that you could hardly stand it. You are actually becoming weak because, particularly you teenagers, right? Boy, 12 o'clock, if I haven't eaten yet, I'm ready to fall and faint. I got to have something, Mom, to eat. You know, you're growing. You got to beat that growth. And so, have you ever been there? Ever been there hungry? All you could think about was food. Anything would do. Just give me some food so I can get through this hunger. It's a little bit the same way. When you are hungering for God, there's an ache deep in your soul that begins to fizzle, and it just doesn't go away. And you just kind of get hungrier and hungrier and hungrier for the Lord. Have you ever been there? Have you ever had that hunger? That's a good hunger to have. It really is. I wish I could be in that state all the time. But this thought remains in your mind. I must have God. I must have Him. And I must have more of Him. And I just want to soak up in Him. And your time is spent in pursuit of Him and His presence. And it's just taking over in your mind and it's taking control of you. There was a young man in Chicago. This was back in the 1800s. And he was pastoring a church. His name was D.L. Moody. And his church was doing well. There were people getting saved on Sundays, and things were clipping along at a good pace. But deep down, he had this ache, just exactly what we're talking about. He had this ache. He had this desire in his heart to see more. And he said, I know that my God is much bigger than what I and my church feel and experience. And one day he said, I'm not doing any more ministry one more day until I experience that power. You know what D.L. Moody done? This young man got out on the sidewalk and walked. He said, I don't even know where I'm walking. And one day, as he was walking down the sidewalk, all of a sudden he just felt pulled into this old building. All it was a storage building downtown Chicago, and there was nothing happening there. The windows were broken out, but he felt led to turn in. He went into this building, and he went over up on the second or third floor, and he got down on his knees, and he said, "God, I'm not moving until I experience what I know is there." And they said that he prayed and prayed and begged and pleaded for God to give him that. And all of a sudden, the power of God came down on D.L. Moody. And his book says, he's no longer alive, but he probably changed more people's lives than any other person I know. As he was down on his knees, the power began to unfold on him, and it came on and on and on. And all of a sudden, he said he was yelling out, "God, don't give me any more. You're going to kill me." That's how much was coming upon him. And he got up on his feet, and he went back out over to his church, and he took the very same messages that he had preached before, where maybe one or two or three people would get saved in the invitation time, and he preached those same messages. And instead of one or two or three people getting saved, literally thousands and thousands and thousands of people came forward and got saved. And he changed that big city for God. But see, that's the difference between having God on your life and not having God on your life. It's the difference between having a little bit of God on your life or a whole lot of God on your life. And what I want is a whole lot of God in my life. Why should I spin my wheels and work hard putting a message together and nothing happens? When I can do that and have all that power upon my life and see wonderful and powerful things happen wherever I go. Not because of me. Has nothing to do with me, but it has everything to do with God. And D.L. Moody has a museum up in downtown Chicago, and I went in there and I read his letters. I spent hours in that little museum, and he had a big statue of him, like a wax thing. And I just looked at him. I just thought, wow. He just looks like Levi. He just looks like me. And yet God used him so powerfully. Now, let's go to Matthew. Actually, let's go to Psalms. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 42. While you're turning there, I want to read verse 6 in Matthew 5. Jesus said this. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." Do you know how to finish that verse? "For they shall." Another promise, Levi. Another promise, guaranteed. You shall be filled. But what do we have to do first? What is our part? Believe, yeah, but hunger and thirst. That's the part that we have to do. Hunger and thirst. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think there's any people in here right now that are hungering and thirsting after God, including myself, like we should. And if we really, really want to be filled, what do we have to do? Abide in Him. Hunger and thirst after Him. We have to hunger and thirst after Him. Look at Psalms chapter 42 and look at verse 1. The thing about God is the more you get of Him, the hungrier you become. Psalms chapter 42, verse 1 and 2. It says here, "As the hart," or the deer, "as the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before my God?" When shall I come and appear before my God? Have you ever been there? Isn't that a great place to be? David was, in his mind, he was thinking of this deer standing on the edge of a creek and just panting for water because of the thirst. And that's what he said when he was trying to describe his own hunger and his own thirst was, "Lord, I'm just like that deer. I'm just like him. I have a song. If you have this page, and I'd like to just stand, all of us stand, and I'd like to sing this song because it comes out of this very scripture. Ask the Deer Pandeth. You know this song? Some of you will know it when I start singing it here. It should have plenty of sheets. And what I really, really want you to do is I want you to sing out. I want you, does everybody have a sheet? If you don't, please raise your hand. What I want you to do is really look at these words and sing them from the bottom of your heart. Okay, here we go. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Sing the chorus out with all of your heart as the last verse. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Very good. Thank you very much. Do you long to worship Him? Is it a longing in your heart and it's an ache that just won't go away? That was David's desire here. Psalms chapter 27. Let's go there. Verse number 4. Psalms chapter 27 verse 4. David says, I have one desire. I have just one desire of the Lord. Psalms chapter 27 verse 4. Says here, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after. And what he's saying is, what the Hebrew word here is consistently seek after. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will consistently and always seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Now, what is the one thing that you desire of the Lord? It is the one thing that you will seek after in 2005. I want you to think about that, because now we're going to have Sunday school. What is the one desire in your heart that is just driving you, and you want to make sure that that desire is strong and fulfilled in 2005? What is your desire? What is your one desire of all desires? What is your one desire, your most important desire at this time in life?
To dwell in the house of the Lord.
Any other desires? Think about it for a second. What is your desire? What if you were honest? You know what I'm saying? What if you were truly honest? Is it to make a bunch of money? To pay that house off? To have that nice car you always wanted? What is your one desire? Some of you better not be honest, because it wouldn't fit this morning because of the setting that we're in. What is your one desire? What is it? To witness to people. Is that a good desire to have? It is, isn't it? How big is that desire? Is it burning in your... Lori's raising her hand. That's my desire. What is your desire? What is your one desire?
Seeing more Amish people get out and get saved.
Seeing more Amish people get out and get saved. Bishops.
Amen.
Grow stronger than ever in the Word of God.
Grow stronger personally in the Word of God. What was David's desire? What was his one desire? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Where's our house of the Lord? Huh?
Our heart.
Okay, in a lot of sense, that's true. I was sort of looking for the other answer, but... Okay. That's what I was thinking, too, was it is in our heart, but it is also in the church here. And you know what I thought? I thought we've never dedicated this building to God. We have not done that. We've not really made a special meeting and said, Lord, we're giving you this building. We ask you to watch over it and cover it with your blood and protect it and never let anything terrible happen in this house, because we're committing it to you. We're dedicating it to you and for your service. And we ask that you do something like fill it up with your power and your presence. You know, we should do that someday. We should just take a whole service and just dedicate this whole building, this room, and to God and say, it's for your work, it's for your glory. But David is saying that I have one desire, and that is to meet in the house of God. I just want to be in the house of God. Now, why did he want to be in the house of God so bad?
That's where he got fed.
That's where he got fed? Let's read the verse there. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold, this is why he was desiring, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple, or to meditate in his temple. I just want to be in the house of God. And you know what? I sometimes think that we should set this house of God and make it a holy place. In some ways, it's our heart in some ways, but it's also the building of God, and it should be kept holy. And we should be able to walk in here. If we're down and discouraged, I like to come up here, right here to this altar, kneel before this altar, because I want to see this altar right here holy. It's not nothing special. It's got all kinds of footprints on it. But if we ask God to make that altar holy, then why wouldn't it be holy? It would be. And I believe in invitations. I believe that it should be more than just raising my hand and saying, yes, that's me. I want to be that kind of a person. But you know what means even more is standing to your feet. Saying, Lord, I'm getting out of my seat and I'm going forward and I'm kneeling at your holy altar, because it's a sign of putting feet to what I believe. And I'd like to see this place holy. What is the one thing you desire? Think about it. Maybe your desire this morning was the wrong desire, but you have the opportunity today, January 2, 2005, just like Levi said, brand new piece of paper. You can write it as you go. It's like a book. Write your own book, and you don't even have to write it. You just live it out. What is your one desire? Maybe you need to change that in 2005. Would you do that? Would you seriously consider doing that with me? What is my one desire? What is my greatest desire to do in 2005? What do I want at the end of year 2005? I want to be able to look back and say, praise God, by the grace of God, I was able to live out that one desire in my life. And it's not easy. We need each other. And for those of us who have signed up for the Bible reading and holding each other accountable, it's been good. It's been fun, right? It's been really fun. I just love it when Reuben calls me. He tried at least 6 times the other night. Either I was on my cell phone or my home phone, or I just didn't pick up because I was eating dinner. But in any case, Reuben was determined to get through and say, Joe, have you read your Bible these past 7 days? And I was ready for him. I've been working on it. I marked it down so I wouldn't forget whether I had my devotions or not. And I was glad I could tell Reuben all 7 days I had a really good time in the Word. We need each other so bad to help us complete that one desire. Let's just stop right now. Let's not go on in life anymore until we are where we want to be. Why go through the whole message and just to feel good about having sat there for a half hour and going through the whole message? What good will that do if we don't do anything about it? That's what James is talking about. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. What do we as new believers, new life believers, have to do to get to the point where we desire and hunger and seek and pursuit after the closeness of God in 2005? James chapter 1, and look at verse number 22. What's the first 6 words say? Somebody shout it out. And what not? Is that easy to do? James knew exactly what he was talking about. Don't just come here to hear. Don't just read your Bible to hear. Do something. To be honest with you, these talk shows, I love to listen to them. You know, what are some talk shows on TV? Huh? Oprah? You like watching Oprah? Dr. Phil? I like Dr. Phil. He makes me feel good. Other ones? But you know what I've seen is people love to come in and share and talk and discuss, and they go home, and does anything ever happen? Probably not. Very, very few times I bet anything ever happens. And what I see in America is that we love to get together and talk about it and talk about it until we're blue in the face, but nothing ever happens. We're hearers and listeners, but what we're missing is what?
Doers.
Let's be doers. For once, let's decide that we're going to be doers this year. Why is that so hard? Why is it so hard to be doers? Anybody got any idea, any suggestions?
It takes time.
It takes time, and we don't have much. We're selfish. That's probably pretty much answers the whole thing. We're selfish people, are we not?
And
a lot of it is laziness. We're selfish. Okay, Bob? We're conscious of how other people see us. We want to fit in wherever we're at. And so the Word says to do it one way, but we happen to be at the wrong group at this particular time. We would rather fit in than to do. Why are we not doers? What good will it do us If we read our Bible 7 days, but we're not a doer, what good will it do us? It won't do us anything. Okay, let's keep reading. Verse number 22. But be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, how can you deceive your own selves by reading but not doing?
Think you're doing right and you're not.
Think you're doing right and you're not. Pretty much answers it. Any other thing to pop to your mind? You can deceive yourselves, and we can deceive ourselves if we read and not do. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man holding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and he goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You know what? The Bible is much like a mirror. You get up in the morning and you realize you were slobbering at night and it's kind of caked on the side here and you see it, it stands out. You just looked in the mirror and your teeth are all yellow because they need brushed. You were breathing through them all night and maybe you see a black mark on the side of you and it all shows up the moment you look in the mirror. Isn't that exactly how the Bible does? You read the Word of God and it's like a mirror. It reflects you. Now, how silly to say, oh, I see all of that, but I'm busy. I'm busy. I got a lot on the schedule today. I got people to meet and places to go, and so you just leave all that stuff on there. How silly would that be? Wouldn't take very long. People be, oh, look at that. He's got yellow hair and black hair and hair all over the place. We would never do that, would we? We never do that. We look in the mirror and we scratch that off and maybe take a shower and brush our teeth. And we want to be, we'll take whatever time it takes to look prepared when we go to meet the people we are wanting to meet, right? Want to look sharp. Why would we not do that with the Bible? If we're going to read it and it says, hey, you're not doing what you should be doing in this area. What should we do? Oh, I got to read the whole chapter. I try to read one chapter a day, and so no time to stop there. You keep on reading. Yep, Reuben, I read a chapter 7 days in a row. What good did that do me? Nothing, did it? I would have almost been better to pick up a storybook and read a chapter in the storybook. We have got to stop thinking that this is what we got to do. We have got to start thinking, I want to read my Bible until I find something that jumps out at me, and then I want to become a doer. If you truly want to hunger and thirst after God, if you truly want to abide in Christ, if you really, really want to see fruit that remains, then that's what we got to do this year. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's it right there. I could stop right there. But we got to be doers. What can I do? What can we do to be doers this year? What can we do? Any suggestions?
Just do it.
Just do it. Get her done.
Let that mirror reflect back into your face so that you're doing what the mirror tells you to do.
Yes. Let that mirror speak for itself. And obey it. Like you would when you really stand in front of a real mirror. What are some other suggestions? What pops to your mind?
Sacrifice your selfishness.
I don't want to go on unless we are on the same page. I really don't. What do we got to do?
Slow down a little bit in our physical life and just read the Bible, and if it speaks to you, act on it.
Right. Slow down. We're in such a, it's kind of like I was thinking on the way to church this morning. I'm on the freeway and everybody's going 65 all the way up to 85. And I thought, man, I'd just like to stop. Maybe even back up a little bit. What would that do? But you know what?
It wasn't a real religion.
But you know what that would do? It would cause all kinds of problems, wouldn't it? So we're on the freeway and we're going like crazy like everybody else. But you know what? The speed limit says 65. That doesn't mean you have to go 70. That's what we're doing. We're going 70 and 80. 90? Yeah, thick lip, you're young, you go. But a new year, a new sheet to write. Let's stop and evaluate. How do we want to write this year? How do we want to do it? And then let's be doers. Let's do it. I want to encourage you, if you are not a part of the accountability group, and whatever reason that is, it doesn't matter to me. You might say, well, calling my person once a week is just too much. I won't get it done anyways. Well, right there. You're not a doer. You're just a listener. If you really want to be a doer, then that shouldn't cross your mind. Maybe you're thinking, well, I just don't like to be held accountable. I like to be able to get up in the morning, and if that means I'm busy that day, I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want Jonathan to call me and ask me how I've done. I want to be put on the spot. Well, then you're not wanting to be a doer. You just want to continue to be a listener this year. Why don't you just decide? I know it doesn't feel good. I know it does, it goes against every grain in my body, but I'm just going to decide I'm going to be a doer and go to Choice or to Sarah and say, count me in. I am with you. I am going to be a doer this year. I want fruits, but I know what I got to do. I got to be a doer, and the fruits will be put there by God. Why don't you just do that? So simple, right? So simple. Okay. Let me read you a little illustration here. This is an illustration of an older lady that was a shut-in. Now, she was in her older years, and she had two daughters. And since she could not clean her own home anymore, she had to depend on her two daughters. Now, these two daughters came with two different personalities. One daughter would clean the house on this week, and the next daughter would clean the house next week. And they changed off. She said, I have two daughters who take turns cleaning my small home. Jean, the first daughter, she comes in and she makes everything shine. Sounds good so far, right? Wait till you hear the rest. Yet, when she leaves the impression that I'm an awful burden. The second daughter. But when Mary comes, no matter how dull the day or how low my spirit, she is so cheery that my heart's turned to singing. Above all, she makes me feel like she loves me. They're both good Christians, you understand, but what makes the difference is in their attitudes. Mary does everything with a loving heart. And that's us today. That's us. If we're going to do it, let's do it with the right spirit, right? Might as well do it with the right spirit. Because to be honest with you, I don't want to pick on my kids, but I know kids throw all this off this way, and so are growing ups. No different. But, Dad, I got to pour the trash out again? I've done it every day this week. Can't somebody do that sometimes? And goes and does it. You know, I've done it anyways, so he... That's how we are. Attitude. You know, why not just do it? Why not just do it? Why have an attitude about it? I'm not picking on my kids or any kids. I'm picking on ourselves. That's how we are. That's how this daughter was. She come in there. I imagine she was like us, busy and all, get out, come in. Okay, Mom, what do you want done today? You know, couldn't you have carried that plate a little bit better? He got all that food that's been, you know, and go off on her. That's how we are. She done it anyways. She might as well have done it with a, like the other sister. Oh, Mother, it's so good to see you. Go, oh, yes, see, you spilled some food here and clean it up. Both of them cleaned the mess up. One was an attitude. The other one was a good attitude. Okay, one more. Let's go to 1 Samuel, then we're done. 1 Samuel chapter 15. I didn't do my message at all like I had planned, but I think this is the way it needed to go. 1 Samuel chapter 15. I want to give you a little bit of background here as you're turning to 1 Samuel chapter 15. What had taken place here was in the Old Testament. Saul was the king, and God said, Saul, I want you to go and kill off the Amalekites. They were a heathen nation, and God said, I want you to destroy everything about the Amalekites. I want you to destroy the little babies. Kill them. I want you to destroy all the adults completely, 100%, wipe them off. And everything that they own, like all their oxen and all their sheep and all their donkeys, I want you to wipe them off. Don't bring anything back. Kill it. Get rid of it. Wipe it away. I don't want to ever see the Amalekites again. That is the command that God gave to Saul. So they go to war. Verse number 3. Let's read that, what I just told you. Now go, this is a command from God, now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. I want you to completely and totally wipe them off. So they go to war, and they did everything pretty much, except Saul saw some really, really nice sheep. They were extra woolly and extra beautiful. And I can just imagine you were thinking, if I just had a couple of these, we'll kill most of them, but we'll take 100 of them back with us. Because what we can do is we can take these beautiful sheep and we can sacrifice them unto the Lord. We'll sacrifice these upon the altar for the Lord, and the Lord should be happy with that. I mean, He wants us to sacrifice, right? Even if we do it a little bit wrong here, the Lord should understand. Well, let's look at verse 22. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. And Samuel now had come up to Saul because he had heard the sheep blowing in the background. And it says, and Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice. To obey is better than to sacrifice. Do you sort of get the picture? It's more important to obey God than it is to sacrifice. It's more important to do what God wants us to do than to get up in the morning and make it to the church house to say that I done what God wants me to do. I made it to the church house. Well, you didn't get any marks for that. None. Zero. But you didn't really aggravate yourself by getting up with the alarm and taking a shower so early in the morning and going to the church house and wasting your day. That you did. But it's more important to obey than to sacrifice. Remember that. So with that, let's bow our heads and let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet, and this is a new year, brand new year. I don't want to put any pressure on anybody. This is between you and God. But would you do me a favor? Would you draw a circle around you right now? Imagine yourself in that circle. No one's in that circle. It's just you. Now you're alone with God. Would you hear what God has to say to you? Would you be open to Him and say, God, I want to start my year out right. I want to be a doer, but I need your help. I need your grace. I need whatever it takes to be a doer. And I'm serious. I'm here because I'm beginning to feel that hunger and that thirst coming on, and I want it to grow, and I want to get more of it, and I want to be a doer in 2005. And to show you that I'm serious about this, I'm going to get out of my seat and come forward and just stand in the front. To show that I'm serious about that, I want to be a doer, and I am going to set my feet to it. I'm going to get out of my seat, and I'm going to just walk up to the front and stand and pray with my eyes closed and ask you to help me. You can do that right now. If you want to do that, would you do that? I'm going to sing this song while you're doing that. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone are my heart and spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Lord, thank you for this time that we had this morning. Thank you so much, God, for working in our hearts. We're just mere human, but we have a desire in our heart like David did. We have a desire that hungers after you and desires you more than anything else. This morning, some of us have stepped out to say that we mean it so much that we are going to step out, get out of our comfort zone, and show you that we're serious and real. I pray, God, that you would bless all of us as New Life Church members this year. Help us to be doers. Oh, God, help us to be doers. Help us to hold each other accountable. Help us to encourage one another. Help us to ask each other the questions on how are you doing spiritually, and how can I help you, and how can I encourage you. Bless us, O God. Thank you for working in our midst. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand.